Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you out tonight on Good Friday. I showed the video of Jesus being whipped. He doesn't do that till tomorrow, but I just thought the body of Christ needed to be reminded of what Jesus went through for us. You know, when we came in and Chris was upstairs, and when he came down, his daughter ran, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And then she said to me, "This is my daddy, this is my daddy." I said, "Believe me, I know that's your daddy." But I wish we would say that about God. I wish we'd be that excited about God and we talk to people. "This is my daddy. I love him. This is truly my daddy." Yeah. The body of Christ still doesn't understand what Jesus did, or else they don't care. I don't know. I really don't know what else God can do to convince us that he loves us. There's just nothing else to do, is there? Jesus did it all. He paid the price. You know, I get reminded every day of how people just totally and completely reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There's somebody who was in the hospital, they just about died. I mean, literally about. The doctor said if you'd come here a half hour later, you would have been dead. They were really, really sick. But you know, they didn't get out of their sin. They didn't want prayer. And they know the Lord. I don't understand that. They've been told if they die, where they're going to go. And they about died in the last couple days. They're just glad they're home. Right back to their old sin nature. Making plans to go deeper into sin. And I can't understand this. I can't understand, though, why the Bible says that God did not prepare hell for his people, but it's enlarged daily to receive his people because they keep refusing who the Father really is. I hope that nobody in this house waits till they're dead and then wish they would have served God the way they should have. I don't know if you're reading the prophetic words that are going around through the true prophets. God's really upset. He's judging his house very severely. And he's not giving any more warnings. He's done with warnings. He just lacked judging now. A lot of people are going to be surprised which end of the stick they're on. I'm just hoping and believing that you all are getting your life together, have gotten your life together, and if God comes by to judge you, which he will, he won't find you wanting. He will find you right where you need to be, in the will of the Father. Tonight we're going to talk about communion. That's what Good Friday is all about. After Jesus did all of his teachings and everything, then he went to the upper room and had his last supper with his disciples. And I'm going to teach about communion. And then we're going to have communion. So what I would like you to do is, while I'm teaching about communion, listen to what's being said and then check yourself. You know, when we first started church, I had communion once a month like all the churches did. And one time God said, "I never want you to have communion again unless I tell you to have communion, because they're taken of my cup unworthily." He said they don't even care what they're doing. They're just eating bread and drinking wine, juice, whatever you want to call it. So I don't have communion unless God tells me to. A lot of people have left over the years have left the church because I won't have communion. I said, "You can have communion at home." Doesn't say you have to be sitting in the house of God to have communion. God told me not to have it unless he told me to, and I'm not going to go against God just because you want me to. So, you know, you can have communion at home. You can get your grape juice and you can get your bread and you can sit down and you can go to your scriptures and you can have communion. So in the upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his coming death. He gave the Passover meal a new meaning. The loaf of bread and a cup of wine represent his body that was soon to be sacrificed and his blood that will be shed. With this, so became what we know and call the Lord's Supper. Before we go any further, I want you to know that I was sitting at my desk the other morning, in early hours in the morning, and I was reading the word, and I just heard, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, rejoice." Real excited, you know, the voice was. Then it repeated it, and God said, "I want you to really celebrate Sunday, because he is alive." So Sunday, we will have the fast music, we will have the balloons, we're going to celebrate Jesus, because that's what God said he wanted us to. You can wear your fancy clothes, that's fine, I don't care what you, no, I do care what you wear. You can wear your fancy clothes, but we're going to rejoice in the Lord Sunday. God said he wanted us to really celebrate his son Jesus on Sunday. Matthew 26:17 says, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the Passover starts at, what, 6 tonight or midnight tonight, huh? At sundown. Passover started tonight at sundown, all right? And Jesus said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." You know, as I read that and reread that, I thought it was nearly neat that Jesus and his disciples, after they ate, they sang. You know, I just thought that was really neat. And a lot of people have a hard time with singing, but Jesus and his disciples sang a song, because it says right there in the Word. Over the years, a lot of us have been taught that communion is largely a symbolic thing, or simply an act of remembrance. And see, that's why God said stop having communion. But it is clear from the New Testament that the early Christians saw it as being much more than that. Otherwise, why would they have taken communion every day from house to house? Every day from house to house. Acts 2:46 says, "They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved." Also, if it was only symbolic, why did Paul say what he said? I just thought this is neat, you know, how they gathered together every day to do this. But then I got to thinking, they were all inside of a little city, right? And they all lived like in a circle or a square, so they didn't have to travel miles to do that. All right, so also if it was only symbolic, why did Paul say what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:29? "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." Think about it. How can a mere symbol have the power to actually make people that sick when it is misused? The fact is, just like baptism, the Lord's Supper is no symbol at all. It is very real, partaking of the life of Jesus afresh. And it is very clear from all the New Testament writings on the subject that the apostles were very aware how powerful and important it was. See, the body of Christ does not understand how powerful communion really is. And when, you know, when you talk about taking it in your own home daily, every morning, people look at you like there's something loose upstairs. But really and truly, I do believe that if we would do that every morning before we ever did another single solitary thing, I think our day would go better and we would have more power and authority over the enemy. I really do believe that. However, based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, an actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant that washes us from sin. We are supposed to partake of it by faith, a fresh impartation of the very essence of Jesus himself. Let's take a look in the scriptures and find proof for all of this. You know, I really believe that if we're trying to overcome a sin, I really believe that if we did communion and did it in a right way, I really believe that God would be there to meet us and help us through that temptation. I really do believe that. Remember Jesus' words when he first partook of the Lord's Supper with his disciples in Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice that he did not say, "This is a symbol of my body or blood." He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And that is clearly the way that his followers were to treat communion from that time on. It was to be a real partaking of all the empowering and cleansing found in the spiritual body and blood of Jesus. How many of us have taken communion all these years and all we've done is come up and say, "God, forgive me of my sins." And then we say this, tell the scriptures, and we just drink and eat and just go on about our business, not really realizing how important communion really is. Communion was to be taken in faith, receiving from God a fresh impartation each time that you took communion. Remember, Jesus had said these dramatic words in John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." A lot of people take that scripture and just run crazy with it. But it means exactly what it says. Jesus doesn't want you to go out there and eat his body. You know, you're supposed to eat the bread of life. In the same passage, he had spoken of himself as the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. John 6:58. "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He who feeds on this bread will live forever." So what he's saying here, when the Israelites were in the desert, they ate the manna from heaven that fell. But then they died in the wilderness, right? But he said, "But if you eat this bread, you will live forever." We also know that Jesus is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as well as the bread of life." This is the very essence of what we are partaking of here tonight. And we also know exactly what the blood is all about. All the way through the scriptures, we are told that the life is in the blood. And we are told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. A few years back, God spoke to me and said, "Daughter, never forget the blood." I said, "The blood cleanses you from all sin. Keep yourself covered in the blood of Jesus because it is life and it brings life." Question to you tonight. Are you ready to partake of communion as a fresh impartation of these very things to you? If you are, then you are ready to partake of it just as they did in the book of Acts. This is clearly why they partook of it every day. It was that important. They used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus and partaking of his life once more. They used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus. Maybe we need to get up in the morning. Maybe we need to take communion so we can abide in Jesus and Jesus abide in us. And partaking of his life once more. It was like the children of Israel who partook of the manna in the wilderness each day to stay alive. Isn't that what they did? They ate fresh manna from heaven every day. So why shouldn't we take communion and eat fresh manna every day? I'll use the word bread every day. We have heard of cases where people have actually been physically healed through partaking of communion in this deeper way. This is not surprising because they are partaking of the very life and cleansing of Jesus by faith. We really need to be doing this all the time, just like the early church. There's a deliverance minister who he will not do deliverance because he's on the road all the time, and he will not do deliverance until he has the people partake of communion. Communion, he said, is that powerful to deliverance. Question, what was it that the Corinthians were doing that actually seemed to turn the power of communion against them? 1 Corinthians 11:17. Now listen to what turned it against them. But now when I mention this next issue, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But, of course, there must be divisions among you so that those of you who are right will be recognized. It's not the Lord's Supper you are concerned about when you come together. For I am told that some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Is this really true? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace the church of God and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you, just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So every time you take communion, to do it in remembrance of Jesus. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So, if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. This is what I told each one of you. Examine yourselves while you're listening to this. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Now, I think it's really great that God told me to quit having communion because he was really saving your life. And see how good God is. He could have let us go ahead and have communion once a month and do it unworthily and just go ahead and let us die. But he didn't want that. He told me, don't do it no more. Verse 31 says, "But if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. But when we are judged and disciplined by the Lord, we will not be condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Now, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Paul was having the same problem with this church as God's having with this church today. And God's doing the very same thing. He's warning the people, you know, make sure you're right before you take communion. Don't bring judgment down upon yourselves. You know, a lot of people sit in the house of God and they hear these things and they think, oh, well, that sounded good. And they never, ever, ever changed anything in their life. You need to start changing the way you view yourself with God. You need to start doing the things that God is teaching you to do. We would be so much better off if we would just do even communion every day. Are you sick? Why not try communion? Do you have something, an infirmity in your body you can't get rid of? Why not try communion? You don't have anything to lose, do you? But you have everything to gain. I don't know why the body of Christ is so closed-minded to the things that God has done for us so that we can live happy, prosperous lives and one day sit in heavenly places with Him and His Son. The main problems seem to be with this church. Number one, divisions amongst them, not preferring one another and partaking of communion in a very fleshly and carnal way. I said that in the church today. Divisions in the church, not preferring one another, always looking out for your own self, not worried about the next person, and partaking of communion in a very fleshly and carnal way. Remember, communion is all about partaking of the one body of Christ. So it is not just oneness with Jesus, it is also oneness with our brothers and sisters. It is a thing of true heart unity. You know, everybody's writing about how the people in Acts, you know, did their thing and they were so happy together and on and on and on it goes. We need to become like the children in Acts. I don't know if it lasted forever. Paul wrote his letter and I don't know after he wrote his letter if things changed. I don't know. But we need to at least look at Acts and see the picture that God painted there. And we need to start maybe fashioning our lives after the people in Acts. We have to do something, body of Christ, if we are going to be vessels of honor that God can move through. We just can no longer just sit and be who we used to be. We have to listen to God's word and we have to change. Do you know how hard it is for a pastor to stand up here service after service after service after service and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and even 10 years later go back and preach the same message because it applies 10 years down the road like it did the day you preach it and still you don't see any change in the body of Christ? There's a problem. We're all blaming God, and really what we need to do is look within and see what we are doing wrong, because God isn't doing anything wrong. He's put everything He's put in the Word applies to every area of our life. In that one small book is condensed everything in every area of our life. He has made a way of escape. And if we can't find it there, if you go to your Father, He's going to tell you where it's at in there. Amen? Remember, communion is all about... I read that, didn't I? Is that where I'm at? This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So heart unity amongst the brethren is very important. If you have something against a brother or sister, it is important to go and make things right before taking communion. A lot of people say, well, I could just take communion, it'll be okay. God will just take care of it. No, God wants you to take care of it first. I remember one time we was getting ready to take communion. Nobody wanted to take communion. And I said, God, what's going on here? And He said, you tell the people to tell me that you forgave that person for whatever they did you, and you know, just tell God what they were going to tell the person. And he said, tell them to go ahead and take the communion, and then whenever they leave here, go to that person and ask them to forgive them. So that's the way we did it. And do you know that some of the people did that were having a problem, and then after they took communion, they went to the people and asked them to forgive them, and everything turned out just fine. But see, God made a way of escape for the people, because they were all just all sitting there, I can't take communion because I have ought, you know, and I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other. And so then God had them do a time of repentance and making covenants with him of what they would do after the fact. Now, I don't know what God's going to tell you to do here tonight, because he's been talking to the body of Christ, just not to this body. The body of Christ as a whole, that we need to walk in love. That we need to forgive. You know, he's been telling us over and over and over again. And now here it is, Easter, Good Friday, communion time. Have we done what God's told us to do all this time up to this point? Are we really ready to take communion tonight? Do we have it all together? We used to have a foot washing service too, you know, on a Friday, on Good Friday, but we stopped that. Because people got up here to wash each other's feet and argued while they was washing each other's feet. I thought, good grief. You know, so then they get go take communion, you know. And so, do you understand what I said to you here tonight? You have to have your life together when you take communion. You cannot have any ought against anybody. Remember I was telling you that I was having a problem in my love walk with a person? Well, God took care of that. I said to him, yes, yes, I can't believe you, God. You're just so good because, I mean, my life has totally changed. It's just like day and night. But see, if you give things to God, God will take care of them. But how many people, they're so full of pride that they won't even tell God, and God already knows. They won't even tell God what their problem is. And so, therefore, God can't help them get out of the ditch that they're in. So tonight, if you have some problems that you just really need to talk over to God about, you need to do that. And you need to do it before you take communion. We're not here to place judgment upon ourselves. We are here to partake of the blood in the body of Jesus Christ. We are here to exalt him and lift him up. Through communion, he made a way of escape. One time God said to me, daughter, the people are not using all the weapons I've given them, and that's why they're defeated all the time. Communion is a weapon, is it not? It is. Communion is a weapon to defeat your enemy. We need to start using communion. You can use bread. You can go to the grocery stores, and they have these little cracker things. I forgot what they're called, that the Jewish people use. You can use anything you want. But as long as you're using the scriptures and doing it the right way, you know. I know some people do it with a cup of coffee. You know. Yeah, that's between you and God. I really don't care what you do it with. But in the Bible, you know, they had wine and bread. So we use grape juice, all right? We don't want everybody to go out here saying that we're alcoholics. So remember that we are all kings and priests. Is that right, Matt? Therefore, any one of us can pray and break bread amongst ourselves in our own homes and gatherings. Your communion scriptures are in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31, and Matthew 26, 26 through 28. Always remember that the bread is the broken body of Christ. Wine is the blood of Christ. Now, I'm not going to get you all, we're not passing it out to you, I don't believe. No, we're not. But I don't want you to come up here until you have searched your soul. I want you to make sure that whenever you come up here to get your communion and you take it, that you're absolutely positively right with the Father. If you're going to take communion and go out here and sin, don't take communion, please. That is very wrong. Don't do that. This is a very sacred thing that we're doing here tonight, the communion. You know, we could have done a whole lot of things here tonight, taught them a whole lot of things, you know, for Easter. because I want you to teach them on communion, because they do not know how to do communion, and I want them to start doing communion in their homes. This is why I stress the home so much. How many? I really believe if you have a lot of demonic activity in your home, don't you believe just maybe if the priest in the household took communion, that you could dispel the darkness in your home? Now, I don't do any of this, so I'm just getting some insight here as God's telling me what to say, all right? I'm up there saying, come out, come out. And maybe what I need to be doing is on my knees with my grape juice and my bread, taking communion with the Lord and letting Him clean my house up. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know one thing. We have to do it right. We cannot do it unworthily. We just have to have respect for the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. As we was watching the whipping of Jesus, and I looked at all that blood that was spattered on the ground, and I remember the day God told me, He said, daughter, He said, my people are walking over the blood of my son, and I have to take care of that. I have to do something about that. His blood's crying out for revenge. You're just like the two brothers in the Bible. Jesus' blood is very precious to the Father. And I want it to become very precious to you too. And I want you to start tonight to think about what Jesus really truly did for you. It wasn't just some play acting that He did. This man suffered mightily for you and I. He did it for a purpose. It was because He loves us. And He wants us to one day sit in heavenly places. But if we don't start getting it right, we're not going to be sitting in heavenly places. Too many people are having visions where people are just flat out dying, because they wouldn't walk the walk that God called them to walk. God is really judging the people. Maybe you just need to pray before you take communion. Say, God, if there's anything in me that when You came to judge me, I would be found wanting. Let me know what it is, Father. I want you to really be searching yourselves right now. And I really want you to be thinking about what would happen if Jesus Christ would come in here right now. Where would you be? Where would you end up at? Where is your heart? Is your heart constantly stayed on Jesus, or do you have all kind of worldly things floating around in your head? Do you have a sin nature that just is just running rampant in your life? I want you to think about all these things tonight. Now, Sunday, most people have a Saturday service to talk about Jesus when He was whipped and carried His cross. We aren't going to do that. But we come together Sunday, that's the day He rose. And He's alive, and we're going to celebrate that He's alive. But are you going to really be able to celebrate Him from the very core of your being? Is your life going to be so that you can stand and you can worship the Father and you don't care what anybody else says, because you know that you've gotten yourself right with the Father? I want you to think about all these things tonight. Are you one of those that causes strife and discord in the church all the time? If I was you, I wouldn't take communion until you got that right. If you're type of person, you make people feel small and little. I wouldn't take communion until I got that right. I take all these kind of things to the Father tonight, and that's why you have plenty of time to do that. Because whenever you take that communion, I want God to touch you in a special way tonight. I want your whole entire life to be changed totally and completely. And you will be that light that God wants to send out into a dark, dark world. I don't know about you, but I can't, and I said this the other night, I can't, you know, God said the gross darkness was going to cover the earth. I never, ever dreamed that this is what he was talking about. And it's going to get far worse. So if we're not getting, if we aren't getting ourselves right now, and then and we take this communion, what's it going to be like when it really gets dark in this world? What kind of a light are you going to be? Hey, it doesn't matter what you used to do. What matters is, what are you doing with your life today? Have you surrendered everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you placed it on the cross and left it there and walked away from it? Or do you keep picking it back up again? We don't have the option to do that anymore. It's lay it at the cross and leave it there. Walk away from it. You know, I'm hearing God say, if you don't do that, when you stand at the judgment seat of the Lord, don't be surprised at what you hear him say to you. If you're reading about what's going on in some of the churches, the pastors have turned their back on God and are bringing ungodly things into the house of the Father. Now, what would happen if they were taking communion like tonight? What really would happen to that church? Let's say the pastor who runs the church. It wouldn't be a good thing. I'm hearing God say, some of you are arguing with your spirit man. Your spirit man's trying to convict you and you're trying to get him to shut up. Don't do that. If your spirit man's telling you, hey, this is what you need to do, then you need to listen to what he's telling you to do and you need to do it. Church, do you understand why we can't get souls saved? It's because we can't get it right. You know, we live just like the world. You know, I say we, I'm just talking about the body of Christ. You know, I'm not saying everybody in here does. But, you know, when the world looks at us, they don't want what we have because they already have that, right? They want to see lives that are totally and completely changed. They want to see the joy of the Lord on you. They want to see the glory of the Lord shining upon your face. They want that whenever you touch them, they can just feel the Spirit of God to go straight through you. You know, sometimes when you're standing up here in the prayer line and I walk up to you and put my hand on you, you jump so hard you scare me. I say, what happened? Because sometimes I have my eyes closed, and you know, because you felt the anointing flow from me to you, and you know, it made you jerk, and I don't feel nothing. I really don't. When you just walk with the anointing, you don't feel it, nothing. You just go and you're just ministering, isn't that right? You know, and so when somebody else jerks or jumps in front of you, it sort of startles you because you aren't expecting all that. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, you're not going to have goosebumps 24/7. You probably won't have goosebumps at all. Because why do you need goosebumps? If Jesus lives within you and you're living right and the Spirit of God is flowing through you, you're just a vessel that God can use. He will use you at the most inopportune times too. You know, you could be doing bad. Like one time I was in here, we were remodeling this place we first moved into and started to move into it. And another pastor came in. I'm dirty, filthy, sweaty, you know. And she said, God told me to come here. And when you prayed for me, I was going to be set free. And I'm thinking, really now? I'm in no condition to pray for nobody, especially get devils out of them. But you know what happened? I laid my hand on her and I started praying for her, and them devils started screaming and jumping and jerking, and she got set free. She said, God, tell me if I come here, you would do this. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Because I was thinking to myself, why didn't we lock the door? I'm being honest. Why didn't we lock the door? You know? If there's any pastors in here, you know there's sometimes you're just not in the mood to minister because you're all tied up with something else. But it doesn't matter what you're in the mood for. It's what God wants done through you. So he will use you anytime he wants to use you. Are you listening here? So just don't worry about what you're doing. Don't worry about who he sends your way. If they say, God sent me, then God's going to do the work. You never do the work anyhow. It is always God. And this is why it's so important that you really are checking, and I see you checking yourself, that you check yourself tonight. Because when you take this communion, something powerful is going to happen to you. God told me last night, 3 o'clock this morning, something powerful is going to go through them, and I'm going to change them, and they'll come alive in a new way than they've ever been before. And so as you're sitting here checking yourself, get excited, because when you take communion, something new is going to happen within you. Once again, I'm hearing God say, what you did yesterday, he could care less about. As long as you've determined in your heart you're never going to do it again, as long as you determine in your heart that you're going to live right for him, he really doesn't care. He says, you're fine in his book. Now be fine in your book. Amen? Come on. God said he wants you to stir up the emotions deep down inside of you right now. He wants you to stir up those emotions deep down inside of you that you sort of bury and you don't want them really to come to surface. He wants those emotions to come to surface so that whenever you take communion, he's going to work on those emotions. They could be good emotions, and they don't have to be bad emotions. God wants to do a powerful thing here tonight. Are you going to allow him to? You know, if God's calling you to minister, you're going to have to know the power of communion. You're going to have to know that when you partake of that communion, something powerful happens inside of you. You do come alive. You do come alive in Christ Jesus. He's ready. Are you ready? Brother Chris, you want to release them, you and Catherine, release them to come and get their communion. Now, while you're doing it, I'm going to go back and read the scriptures of what Jesus said so that you know what you're doing when you take the bread and the wine. So it says in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. I'm on page 2. I didn't know if he was putting up there. You don't have to. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. So as you partake of the bread, say to yourself, I take and I eat of the body of Jesus. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So you're drinking of the wine. It's his blood for the remission of sins. Now I'm going to sit down while you all do your communion. We all do our communion. And then we're going to minister to you when you're all finished with that. Be dropped. God's really been dealing with me about that. And this is why God is trying to get his body totally and completely freed up so that whenever he drops his glory, you will not be left standing on the sidelines. That glory is going to hit you too, because not all is going to be touched by the glory. anybody wants prayer, I want you to come up now. And when you come up, God's such a special impartation He's going to give to those who come to the altar tonight. Some of you in here tonight, you have a special calling on your lives, and you're going to need this impartation because God's going to use you for signs, wonders, and miracles wherever you go.